the same question 400 times. I'm afraid I have to repeat the same 400 times.
Right, you could have always said
before. I guess. All right, so we are holding on Mem Omadei's seven lines from the top. One of them is Omar. Okay, the last thing we mentioned was we had a whole discussion about the question of a sudden, a linen garment. What do you do as Okay, so we talked about a sudden, a linen garment as far as having tzitzis on it. We mentioned a machlokes of the chama betilo, and we met when we talked about the idea that if somebody would wear tzitzis on such a thing in Yerushalayim, they would consider it odd. So that led us into the question, what's wrong with wearing tzitzis on a linen garment? And we discussed a number of possibilities why it would be a problem back in the day when they had tchelas, that is, where tchelas, where therefore tzitzis of necessity have to include the tzitzis strings of necessity have to include wool, because tchelas can only be dyed wool, and therefore we discussed a number of possibilities why indeed should you not be putting tzitzis on those, given that you are allowed to have tzelayim and tzitzis. So we ended up saying that the last thing that we said is Rava had said that I said the following, and it turned out that Abzera said the same thing in Eretz Yisrael, the same way as I said. The reason is because we're concerned that there may be a situation where it rips close to the edge, and then you sew it up, where then the problem is that you have a problem with passive alignment. So, well, it is, because what it is like this. The Torah tells us passive alignment of Osiri, that tzitzis have to be specifically placed on the garment for the sake of tzitzis, not that you have strings hanging there already and you're going to consider them as part of the tzitzis. So here, Rashi explains the issue is that if you're going to have a rip close to the edge of the garment, you may sew it up over there, then you're going to leave some of the threads hanging over there from the sewing, you're going to think those counts are part of tzitzis, then you're going to add more strings to make a complete tzitzis, you're going to add tchelas, and there you have a problem. You have tchelayim over there without the mitzvah being accomplished, because passive alignment of osri.
One second. Tchelayim and tzitzis are two different
things. No, but that's the point. In other words, in order for tzitzis to be kosher, it has to be that you made them for the purpose of the mitzvah, not that you have strings. They have to be kosher tzitzis in order to...
It's midaraita.
So, yeah. So the problem is, you may have, according to Rashi, you may have strings that are left over there from the sewing near the edge. You're going to mistakenly think that those can serve as tzitzis strings. So there you're going to think to yourself, okay, I already have two linen strings over here, because that's what I sewed it up with, it's a linen garment. I'm going to add two more tchelas strings, and there, I'll have tzitzis. And the problem is, it's no good. You don't have real tzitzis over there, because passive alignment also, two of the strings were not placed there as tzitzis, they were there because as part of the sewing. And therefore, you don't have valid tzitzis, but you have tzelayim.
The fact that they have been there, part of the initial eight strings.
As opposed to, if you look at tchelas, take two tchelas strings, and two white linen strings and put them into a hole in the garment, tie them as tzitzis, then it would be fine, because that's what the Torah tells us. You're allowed to wear tzelayim in tzitzis. But here, where there's the concern that you may have an edge of it ripped off, and then you sew it back up using linen threads, and then you're going to think, I can also make those threads serve double duty as part of the tzitzis, then you're going to have a problem. You're going to end up having tzelayim over there without the mitzvah. That's how Rashi is.
You sew a string of linen that was initially put to make the tzitzis.
So we're going to talk later, actually, that no, the strings for tzitzis actually have to be spun l'shem mitzvah tzitzis. So that's another issue as well. Even if you didn't have the issue that the guy is mistakenly going to think that these threads can also serve for tzitzis, they'd be possible anyhow. But anyway, that's all how Rashi learns. Tosfos has a different explanation, which also affects later on in the sugya, that the issue is more along the lines of that you may have a corner of the garment may rip off too close to the edge with the tzitzis still on it. Then you're not going to realize, now you're going to talk about later, you're not allowed to then re-sew it back onto the garment with the tzitzis still on it, because again, you have passive alignment also. You have a problem that you have tzitzis already on a piece that was not suitable to be called a garment because less than 3x3.
So what do you have to sew the garment?
What you would actually have to do is you have to take off the tzitzis from that corner, re-sew it back onto the garment, then put the tzitzis back. So if you don't do that, then again, you have a problem, given again that there's tchelos here in the tzitzis, there's a problem of tchelayim without doing the mitzvah. So either way, So we said, therefore, so Rava has said that, and Rav Zera, independently, in Eretz Yisrael, said the same thing, that that's the issue, and therefore we say that you shouldn't have tzitzis with tchelos on a linen garment. You actually have, by the way, furthermore, in Shulchan Aruch talks about, it's not the Gzeira on Gzeira. No, it's Gzeira itself that you shouldn't have fitness on such a garment. We also had before Rashi and Tosfos discussed at the beginning of the Sugya anyway, according to the Shammai, are we saying that such a garment is Potter from Fitness Daraisa because they don't hold a Kalayan to Fitness at all, or like Tosfos said, they agree that it is Chayav Daraisa, but they say you shouldn't do it for the reason that we're saying over here. You also have, on top of that, interesting, and Shulchan Aruch talks about the idea, even nowadays that we don't have Chelas, you have an opinion, I think Maharam Rutenberg, who says that the reason is for this Zera, because of this, so it may rip off. Also, we said another reason, like Mara said at the end, Mishum Ksus Laila, because what if you have a linen garment that you're wearing at night, or that's normally worn at night, different opinions among the Rishonim, you're going to put Fitzis on it with Chelas, and then again, you're doing Kalayim without doing the mitzvah.
Because
at night there's no mitzvah. Right.
Because
there is a
having a fitness with linen with Kilayan, it can only be worn during the day any which way, right?
That's what we're saying, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go on. So we're holding again 7 lines from the top of Memo with these. But Omar Rava, Hom Mil Fa'amli, here's another.
If you wore a full-wool tissus at night, that wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, so if it's all wool, if the beggar is wool and the tissus are wool, then you have no problem, right? But if you have a linen garment, then you have this issue that we're dealing with.
Completely.
Or all wool, right.
And today, you can have a linen garment and wear it at night because there's no tailor.
But you would have to put linen string.
But what about the cover of the tissus inside? You know,
there's the little piece of, the little piece of cloth. I think it's silk. I'm not sure.
So then it's Kilayan.
Yeah, no, silk. No, wool and linen, only wool and linen together.
No.
There's no such thing. I mean, there is such a thing as Kilayan Dirabanan, but the materials still have to be wool and linen. And wool with anything else, or linen with anything else, is not Kilayan.
Only wool
and linen together, yeah. So no, those corner pieces that are put on there to reinforce it, canfos, they call them. Yeah, I think they're made out of silk. I don't know, whatever they are. Okay, V'amar Rava, Hom Mil Sa'amri. So Rava says, here's another thing in connection with Hilchos Tzitzis that I said. The Ifma B'ma Rava Mishmeidit Abzera Kavasi. And then it was said in Eretz Yisrael in the name of Abzera, also in accordance with what I said. Another din, He shall beg it Ufnafeha shall her. Suppose you have a garment where the body of the garment is made out of cloth, is wool or linen or whatever, and the corners of it are made out of leather. Hayavis, then we're saying that it's Hayav and Tzitzis. On the other hand, even though the corners are made out of leather, because most of the garment is made out of cloth. So in other words, the corners were cut off, and instead you put leather over there to fill in the corners. If it was the other way around, he shall err, if it was a garment made out of leather, or knafel shall beg it, and the corners were made out of cloth, sort of, then it would be puzzer. My timer, iker beged ba'inim, because we say you go according to the main beged. When we say there's a chiyuv of tzitzis, so there isn't a chiyuv of tzitzis, you go according to the main beged, not according to the corners. On the other hand, because it's a beggar thing, right? On the other hand, Rav Achoy, also Bosa Kana, for Rav Achoy went according to what the corners are. He would say the other way around. He would say if the corners of a cloth garment are made out of leather, then it would be chayev, and vice versa, it would be possible.
That's not the halacha.
The halacha, most of the posts can follow Rava, and that's how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. There is, by the way, some interesting discussion about this, we mentioned briefly the other day, what about, for example, polyester? So Rav Moshe, for example, writes in his Truva, Rav Moshe writes in one of his Truvas, that based on the Gemara over here, you could argue that polyester has the same status as leather. Therefore, it shouldn't be chayav and tzitzis. What's the logic? He says like this. Leather doesn't come originally in the form of fibers. Wool and linen and cotton and so forth originally come in the form of fibers. Leather does not. And when we say leather here is potter, we don't mean even a solid piece of leather. Imagine a person were to cut a piece of leather into strips and weave them together. It would still be potter from tissus. So by the same logic, he says, okay, polyester can be made to begin with in the form of fibers. Nevertheless, though, it doesn't have to be. It could easily well be made as a sheet or whatever. So therefore, he argues it wouldn't be chayav and tissus, at least not daraisa. Maybe dirabanan, but not daraisa.
The leather is natural.
What's that?
Polyester is
Yeah, what's that got to do with anything? No, it's not a question of natural versus synthetic. It's a question of does it come naturally in the form of fibers or not. Leather doesn't, and arguably, therefore, polyester, when it's made, doesn't necessarily either. You have other posts in my chronicle, to be based on Frank, for example, argues that it is high in synthesis. So, okay, you know, those who wear them would question whether they can make a bra on them.
Yeah, they do make polyester.
They do make polyester.
Mesh ones.
Yes, exactly. So the mesh.
They can't make mesh out of wool.
Maybe they could. I don't know. But the mesh ones that they find in the stores are made out of polyester.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go on. Amar Rava Amar of Skhara Amar of Huna. Here's another din regarding cast of a linen obviously. Shistil Labala Sholish. If a person has a garment that so far only has three corners, and he starts by putting tzitzis on the three corners, the Shlimal Arba. Later on, he added a fourth, he sewed on a fourth corner on it. So now the first three tzitzis that he put on it are puzzle. Again, Mishum Tass of Lemon Osri. So you have the same Tass of Lemon Osri problem because they were made to begin with not when the garment was closer from tzitzis. And now, all of a sudden, the beggar becomes higher than tzitzis, but you didn't do anything with the tzitzis. They're already there. You have a contradiction. A Braita says, Chassidim HaRishonim, Kivin Sha'orgubah Gimel, the early Chassidim who were extra careful with mitzvahs, as soon as they wove three etzbois of a talis, which is the minimum for it to be considered a beggar, they would immediately put tzitzis on the two corners that were finished. And then when the rest of the garment was finished, they'd put on the other two corners. And there's not. Okay, so imagine, think of how weaving is done, right? You have the sheshi threads on the loom over there, and you pass the eider back and forth to make the cloth. What they would do is, as soon as the first three etzbois, what we're saying over here, is as soon as they would make the first three etzbois of the width of the garment, so now you already have two finished corners at that point, and now the other two corners are yet to be woven, they would immediately put tzitzis on those two corners. Now, later on, we're going to talk about, well, it's not just, so first of all, okay, the problem is like this. Rashi says the problem is, here it's a little bit different. I mean, the beggar is already 3x3. It's a little bit different than we were talking about before, where it doesn't have four corners yet, but the issue is that the beggar itself is not yet higher than tzitzis because it's not big enough yet. We're going to talk soon in the Gemara that a beggar has a minimum size in order to be higher than tzitzis.
But it has also two corners.
Well, it's also true that you only have two corners, right? But so you have both. But the point is, well, you could argue, in other words, that it has four corners, and the location of the corners, you could argue, is going to keep on changing as more and more of it is woven. We're going to actually get into later in the Gemara. We're going to get into another case where you have a talus that's too big and you fold it over, whether you put this on the original corners or whether it's, we did it briefly at the end of the previous paragraph, but now we're going to get into it and into it more. But yeah, so Rashi says that the issue is over here that the beged itself is not large enough to be chayav in tzitzis yet. Therefore, by the time it's finished, you have a problem of tassel v'lemon osri.
What about the two corners?
So again, the corners, we could argue right now it has two finished corners, and fine, the other two, right now the corners are here, later on the corners are going to be here, later on the corners are going to be here. Fine, you could argue that still it doesn't have corners at all stages of its manufacture. Because you're going back and forth. The location of the other two corners just keeps on changing.
If you put the chassis up to the middle,
you have the chassis the length of the chassis is going to end up being the full length of the garment.
But initially you don't.
Initially, obviously, it's not woven. But you still have, that's going to constitute the full length of the garment. When you weave up to here, when you weave the eight of threads in up to here, then you have corners here and here. And when you weave further over here, then you have corners here and here. At all times, the thing has four corners. Two that you started with, and two that you're up to at this point.
Fine.
So that might not be the issue, but the issue
is like this.
That's not the way you weave it. Yeah, well, you have the chef you thread it in. You finish one whole row at a time. Yeah. Okay. So the answer is the Gemara says no. Ema, you have to change the wording of the Braisa. It's the opposite. Kivin shepasu bagimol. What it is once they reach within three etzbois of the end. Pasu, many of the Rishonim say, the word is more like basu, like finished, whatever. You have the word with the word basa in Lashon Kodesh can mean to finish off. Bisa and Rasai, for example, you have others anyway. So once they finished, once they reached within three etzbois of the end, and we're going to say later that tzitzis is supposed to be placed no more than three etzbois from the edge of the garment. But fine. So now already they're in the zone where tzitzis is going to be put. So therefore, how you might feel much chelos. At that point, they would put chelos on it. They would put tzitzis on it. Because once they're in that last three etzvos, then already you can say, effectively, those three corners, or those remaining two corners, are already roy for tzitzis. Because they're not going to be weaving that much more anyway. You need four corners. But here we're talking about the distance.
Four etzvos?
No. The distance, okay, the distance of the tzitzis from the edge of the garment should be no more than three etzvos. Therefore, when they're weaving the garment, when they, when they're weaving the tzitzis, they're going back and forth over here. Eventually they reach this point over here. Now they're within three etzvos of the edge. So therefore they can right away go and put on the tzitzis as soon as possible. Either going to be weaving another inch or so, it doesn't matter. That's still going to be, they're already in the zone where the tzitzis can be placed. So therefore, nothing, but on the other hand, they wouldn't be able to do it earlier on, so we have to change the wording of the braisa. Not they do it as early as possible near the beginning of the weaving of the garment, but rather they do it as early as possible when they're getting close to the end of the weaving. So there's no contradiction. After they're in the last three etzvos.
And then where do they put all four at that
point? They would put, well, two of them, then they'd put all four. Yeah, we said they can't put two.
And they put the other two on.
Because you can have they can punch holes in the woven part of the fabric. You still have, okay, you still have sheshi threads over there, fine. They punch holes between the sheshi threads so as not to interfere with them, and they tie on the scissors.
It's not woven all the way through, but don't they need the three spots.
Yeah, they're gonna continue weaving afterwards. So what? Fine, the scissors are already there, they're not gonna get in the way of it. Okay, but that's the Siddim of the Shonim who are saying we'll do that and it's valid to do that. Okay, so the question is, I mean, in Tasa Volumina Osiri, so you're telling me we have a problem of Tasa Volumina Osiri when it comes to Tzitzis? Well, I'm Rav Zeira, he's still the Mutelas Tchera. But don't we find, Rav Zeira said, suppose you have a garment that already has four Tzitzis on it, on the four corners, and then you put on four more Tzitzis onto it, in each on the same corners. You have a beggar that already has four tzitzis on it. Now what you did is you went to each, one on each corner. Yeah. Then you went and you took on one of the corners and you put on a second set of tzitzis. You put in a second set of strings through the holes and tied them to make another thing of tzitzis.
What's the problem?
Well, the problem is that you're only supposed to have one on each corner. So what we're saying, so that's Hitzel Lemutelus, that you place tzitzis on a garment that already has tzitzis, and even we're saying, even if then you go and cut off the original set, then the second set are kosher. Now on the face of it, you should argue that when you put on the second set, they weren't necessary, because if the beggar already had tzitzis on that corner. Now we're saying you're cutting off the first set, and the second set remain kosher. That shows there's no problem of tasa v'lamina osiri, because that's what you have over there. You have, and how does the second set become kosher? Not through an action involving them, but rather through an action involving the other set. And we're saying it's still okay.
According to Rav Zeira.
Well, that's okay. So we have to
agree with that?
Well, at least we have Rav Zeira saying that. Before, actually, we were talking according to Rav Zeira. That's okay, well, no, we weren't, actually. We were talking about Rav Zeira in another connection, but still. We were, because in connection with passive alignment, also, you said Rav Zeira had mentioned the problem over there that you're going to throw it up, and you're going to have a leftover thread, et cetera. Okay. So Omar Rava, answers to that, no, that's not, okay, there's actually a few different ways that we're showing him learn these next couple of lines of the Gemara. So let's start with how Rashi does it. Rashi answers that, no, of course there's a thing of passive eliminatory. The reason why here there's not an issue is Hashtab about Toysif Koi, because let's consider, the person, when he puts an extra pair of tzitzis on the corner over there, when he puts on extra tzitzis on each of the corners, he's now being over on Baal Tosif, because the Torah says he's supposed to have one tzitzis on each corner, no more.
He puts an additional...
He puts an additional thing, an additional one on that same corner.
There already.
Yes. So you have a complete winding and thing of tzitzis over there. Then he puts another set of strings into the holes over there, and Rava is arguing that makes him that he's over then on Baal Tosif. Well, then in that case,
make only one
tzitzis
per corner.
Because that's what it is. I'll say, if I have tzitzis, I'll kind of examine the derivative. So, yeah, so one on each corner. One on each corner.
Singular or plural?
Yeah, it's singular. I mean, it's plural in terms of the strings, but it means you have one thing of tzitzis, one winding of tzitzis on each corner. So therefore, so he's over on Baal Tosif. So therefore, the argument is, Rashi says, that since he's being over on what the Torah says, you can't call that a maaser. Therefore, when he cuts off the original one, at that point, that's where you have the second one. Now it's considered that now it's considered thermi.
It's not valid.
Now you've taken away the baltosis. So where you have a garment that has three corners and is not yet chayev in tzitzis, and you're going to put tzitzis on it, and then put the fourth corner on, then you have passive alemin also. But here, where your action in putting the second one was something that was over on the Torah, because you're doing baltosis, then when you take away the first one, that's when you have the proper asiyah. However, maski for a papa, however a papa asks on that, mimai de gavra lo usufi komachav. And after all, though, who says the person intends to add a second set and be over on baltosis? Dumal of atuli komachav. Maybe by putting a second set of tzitzit on that, on each of the corners, he intends to be mevasal the ones that were there originally. Therefore, baltosis leka maisa ikka. And then there's no issue of baltosis, exactly. And not meaning to add to the mitzvah, but there is a maisa, and then you have then you're back to the problem that if he cuts off the first one, then you have a problem with the second one.
1 second. Baltosis is bakavana?
Yes, baltosis would mean bakavana. The person intends to add to the mitzvah.
If he doesn't have the kavana,
nevertheless, it's not considered baltosis. So you're back to the question, therefore. So Rashi learns that Rav Papa brings back the question. In that case, then on the face of it, we have a case over here where passive alignment also is okay, because Rav Zera is not specifying which ones are good and which ones are not. Now, you have a couple of other explanations. You have a couple of other ways of learning the discussion over here. The Rambam accepts this distinction that Rav Papa is making over here between the Batuli versus between what is Sufi and the Batuli, whether he intends to put a second set because he considers one on each corner is not enough. I want to have to put two sets of tzitzis on each corner, or is it because he wants to be mevatel the first one? And so the Rambam writes that if he's doing it in order to do baltosif, then we would say when he cuts off the first one, indeed, then the second ones remain possible because passive lemon also. On the other hand, if he was putting them to be mevatel the first ones, then we say it's okay, you can cut off the first ones and the second ones are kosher. So there's the second ones, in other words, like the sort of like the kashrus of them is suspended until the first one, till the first ones are actually gotten rid of. So the Rambam, therefore, is understanding the discussion over here differently, that Rava is saying just the opposite. The fact that you're doing baltosif makes it that the second ones are going to be possible. And Rav Papa is answering, it depends whether he's intending to do baltosif or whether he's intending to be mevatel the first one. Then comes in the Rivet and argues with the Rambam on that and says that's not a valid distinction. The Gemara mentions over here the Kabbana or not, but in other words, it would come out that the Ravid is understanding the back and forth more like how Rashi explains it. That Rav Papa is asking the question, and that on the face of it, you're left with a case where passive alemin also is Musr, but given that we know it's not, then we have to say the Kabbana doesn't really matter. Either way, the second set is going to be kosher, given that Rav Zera just said generically, Hitzel Lomotelos Kshela. So eventually, it comes down to a Macholkas and Shulchan Aruch, whether in that case it will be kosher. Whether we say that it depends on his Kabbana, whether we say it depends on his Kabbana or not. The Mechaber says yes, it depends. According to the Rambam, it does. According to the Ravid, it doesn't. So it comes down in Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber brings like the Rambam, that it depends on his Kabbana. Sometimes the second set will be kosher, sometimes not. Depends whether he intended to do Baal Tosef or not. The Rambam says no. The more straightforward way of understanding it is the way that Rashi says, and apparently the way that Ivan says that either way it'll be kosher. That what Rav Papa is objecting, but we still say the fact is there is a concept of passive alemin also. Therefore, we're not going to make this distinction between its kavana or not. If Rav Zera is saying generically that hitzel b'motelos kshera, then we have to say either way it's kosher. And it's interesting, actually, the Alter Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch, usually when you have a machlokes like that, usually the Alter Rebbe will bring both opinions and then mention which one he holds is more preferable. Here the Alter Rebbe only brings the Rambam's opinion, that it's kosher either way.
So he discards
the Rambam's opinion, apparently, yeah.
On the basis of what?
On the basis that the Rambam says, this is the primary way of understanding the sugya is not like Rambam.
A side question, how can the Ramah supersede the Rambam, who was much earlier than him?
That's neither here nor there, he was much earlier. They're both Rishonim. A Rishon can argue with a Rishon.
The Ramah was a Rishon.
The Ramah is a Rishon, yeah.
When did he live?
He lived in the 1500s. generally speaking, the usual cutoff point is after the Shulchan Aruch, after the generations after the Shulchan Aruch are the Achronim. The ones before that are the Rishonim. But again, if it was just the Rambam against the Rambam, maybe he wouldn't be able to do that. But again, since against the Rambam you have Rashi and the Raivot, then therefore that can be enough to override him. Amar of Zera, Amar of Machna, Amar Shmuel. Tchelas ein b'mishum kilayim. When it comes to tchelas, and sit this generically, there's no issue of kilayim. V'afilu b'talas p'tura. Even if the talus itself is potter from sittis. So we have to figure out, what does that mean? My talus p'tura. What do you mean that if a talus is potter from sittis, then you're allowed to put...
What are we saying about it? It's not a beggar.
A talus means, talus is often the generic word in the Gemara for a beggar. It means that a beged is the general word for clothing. A talus is like is out of clothing, basically. Because that's usually how it was in those times. It wasn't like nowadays where you wear a shirt and pants and kapota and whatever, and then you wear a talus on top of that. In those days, the talus was your main outer garment. Lahavdil, like a Roman toga or whatever. So we're saying that chelas ein b'mishum kilayim avafilu b'talus p'tura, even if the talus is potter. So we have to figure out, what does he mean by that? My talus p'tura.
So that goes against what we just...
Well, that's what we have to figure out. When we know that they're fine. We know there's no issue of kilayim in tzitzit. But what do you mean, even if the talus is potter? Do you mean ilema delef b'shiura? Do you mean you're talking about a talus, a garment, which is too small to require tzitzit? Well, then why should you be allowed to put kilayim tzitzit on it and not have an issue of wearing shatnez? The hatanya, we learn in a bright.
When you wear it, it's not then.
That's the question. That's the question. The same way as you wear it at night, you're being over on shatnez without being a kind of shatnez. That's the question. But I'll tell you, we learn in a braisa, talus shakot miskata by rosha b'rovoi. When you have a talus, a garment, where it's large enough for a child to be able to cover his head and most of his body with it. How old should be the child? So the Rambam says 9 years old. Because the Rambam learns when we say over here that when we talk about here over here about a kid, we mean a kid who is old enough to be, first of all, old enough for him to be nischanes and mitzvahs, and second of all, he's able to go around in the street unaccompanied. So the Rambam says, that's also true, but that's neither here nor there. So the Rambam, that has nothing to do with this. That has nothing to do with this issue. Okay, anyway. So the Rambam learns we're talking about 9 years old. You have your Shonim would say it means like 5 or 6 years old. That actually affects, eventually you have to figure
out.
Right, so it affects the size. So it ends up being a machlokas. It ends up being a machlokas among the poskim. What is the minimum size for a pair of tzitzit? So let's learn through the words of the Gemara over here and then we'll talk about it. Anyway, talus shakot miskasa b'roshim b'zeh, right? When you have a talus cotton, as the case may be, whatever, a garment, that's large enough for a child of 9 years old, according to the Rambam, to cover his head and most of his body with it. V'hagodo yosu b'derech harai, and an adult would, on occasion, also wear it to go outside. In other words, it's large enough that an adult could, as an occasional thing, wear it without being completely embarrassed that too much of his body is uncovered. Chayev et tzitzis, and it's chayev and tzitzis. Eina cotton miskasa b'rosha v'rovai, whereas if it's too small for this cotton to be able to cover his head and most of his body with it, af afisha godo yosef harai, even if an adult goes out with it, derech harai, ptura, then it's potter because basically we say bottle daita is a problem. Such a godol, okay, you can have a person who has a lack of self-respect and therefore will wear it if it's fitting outside even though it doesn't fit him, but a regular person wouldn't do that and therefore a regular person wouldn't do that and therefore we say bottle daita is a problem.
This is such a convoluted definition. Why don't we just say a talis is higher in any talis that fits an adult size?
Because that's the thing. It's not. It's big enough that if a child, here, I'll read you what the Alphabet says. If a child who has reached the age of chinuch and mitzvah tzitzit, namely 9 years old, when he's able to walk unaccompanied in the street, and he doesn't have to watch his talus to make sure he doesn't lose it, so if he can, if it's big enough that he can cover with it his head and most of the length and width of his body, and then also when we say an adult, by the way, it doesn't mean a full-grown adult. An adult for this purpose means a 13-year-old, a bar mitzvah. A bar mitzvah, it's large enough also that a boy 13 years old would not be embarrassed to occasionally wear it out into the street, then such a thing is called ksus, and it's chayev and tzitzit, and you're not allowed to wear it without tzitzit. And
that
so 1 second, and we'll talk about that in a second. And then the Alter Rebbe continues, if a child of 9 would not be able to cover Rosh HaBerubos, even if the 13-year-old would occasionally wear it outside, but it's not called Ksus, so it's Potter from Tiff. You actually have, I'll mention also, the Alter Rebbe goes on to say, it's not his own Chiddush, it goes back to the Rishonim before him, that there's actually Machloikas. When we mention over here that the Gadol goes out with it Arai, does it really matter? Are we talking one criterion or two? Is the criteria that the 9-year-old would be able to wear, that covers most of the 9-year-old body? And the Gemara is just mentioning, by the way, typically that would be big enough for a 13-year-old to be wearing it Arai. Or are we saying that it also has to be big enough for the 13-year-old to be wearing it Arai? In other words, suppose that a 9-year-old can cover Rosh HaBerubos with it, but it's too small for a Ben Yud Gimel Shana to go out with it even Bakrai, then you have a Machlokes, whether it would be Chayiv and Tiffus or not. Okay.
And that causes a Machlokes, to take the definitions to a 9-year-old.
Yes.
Instead of taking it to...
So why didn't the Gemara give a sheer...
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. It's a good question. Yeah.
Then there has to be a reason.
Okay, so the reason is that we have a machlokas rishonim, whether the Gemara is giving us one criteria just based on the 9-year-old, or whether the Gemara is giving us two criteria based on the 9-year-old and the 13-year-old. Okay. Okay. That's how it is. Anyway, the point is how does it come down in arm measurement? So you have a number of opinions among the poskim. The Alter Rebbe paskins that the minimum is 1 amma by 1 amma. And actually, in Hilchos Tzitzis in the Siddur, the Alter Rebbe also wrote a long discussion of Hilchos Tzitzis in the Siddur Tzilas Hashem. We only have a tiny fraction of it. And if you look in the Siddur Torah or in Dayan Raskin's edition of the Siddur, you'll find the whole thing. The Alter Rebbe goes through blow by blow many of the dinim of Tzitzis over there. He rewrote them from what was in the Shulchan Aruch. He explains over there the minimum is you have to have an amma by an amma, excluding the neck hole. You have to have, in other words, past it, lower than the neck hole, you have to have a full amma long and a full amma wide, and so therefore it comes out, in other words, that the minimum, an amma is officially an arm length, yeah, it's 18 or 19 inches, according to Rabbi Avraham Chaim Noah. The Alter Rebbe also makes the point, by the way, that when you're wearing it, the whole thing has to be uncreased. If it's creased, then the creased parts don't count towards the amma. That's why you have people wear a key belt on Shabbos, and some people even during the week, in order to keep it uncreased around their body.
Why do you want to say the mitzvah is creased?
Because that's the point the Alter Rebbe says, based on the Gemara over here. If the garment is creased, and it doesn't measure a full amma by an amma, then you're not used to the mitzvah of tzitzis with it.
How can it be not yotzi if it can uncrease itself?
Because the fact of the matter is that the fact is right now you're wearing a crease, so you're not wearing the full amma by an amma. That's how it is. All right, let's go on in the Gemara.
You can tuck it in carefully.
You could also tuck it in carefully so it doesn't get creased. That's true, yeah. Okay. The chen le'inyan kelayim, and the b'raisa continues, the same is true as far as the dinim of shachnez. Meaning not necessarily as far as tithis per se, but as far as the genome of shatnez in a garment. Vahabinanva, and so we wondered about that in the Bismedrish when we learned this Braisa, my vachemin in Kalayim. What does that mean? What's the comparison we're making between the minimum size of the garment as far as tithis and as far as Kalayim? Do we mean, regarding the issue of Kilayim, that if you have a garment that's too small for a 9-year-old to wear, then there's no issue for an adult to wear it if it happens to contain Kilayim? Can't. We learn in a Mishnah in Masech Kilayim that there's no such thing as Arai when it comes to Kilayim. There's no such thing, I'm going to wear this only for a few minutes, or I'm only wearing it as a one-time thing, and I'm allowed to, even though it's chanted. You're not allowed to, even as a one-time thing. So what do we mean, V'chein La'in Kilayim? The Omer of Nachman Yitzchok said, what it means is the Chemla Inyan Sodin Betitis. It goes back again to this thing we were talking about as far as a linen garment having woolen tzitzis on it, that if it's that the same rules that apply, how the minimum size for it to be Chayiv and tzitzis is the minimum size also, that if the garment is linen, you're going to be putting woolen tzitzis on it, what's the minimum size of the garment in order not to have an issue of shatness? So you're being yoked to the mitzvah of tzitzis. So therefore, what they're going back to, when Rav Zera said, that there's no issue of kilayim when it comes to tzitzis, even if the palace is potter. So what do you mean? If the palace is too small, there isn't. If that palace is too small, then you're not used to the mitzvah of tzitzis with it, and there would be an issue of kilayim. So el amai tura. So no, we have to say, what do we mean when we said the palace is potter? We mean it's potter because it's a lomotrelis. We mean because it already had tzitzis on it, and you put another set of tzitzis on it, which is what we discussed before.
Provided it has the right size.
Right, right. So we're not talking about size anymore. In other words, we're talking about this is a palace that's the minimum size, and it already has kosher tzitzis on it, and now you're putting more tzitzis on it. So we're saying this is the same thing, that there's no issue of kilayim in it. So the question is, didn't Rav Zera already say that before? He already said that if you put tzitzis on a mutelos on one that already has tzitzis, then it's kosher. The answer is Chodim Akal B'Chavetreis. Now, you're right. Rav Zera didn't make two separate statements. He said the one statement about Hitzel L'Motelos, and from that we can deduce the one about Kalai. So in other words, when we said the first one, Omer Rav Zera, that's Hitzel L'Motelos Trera, that was an explicit statement that Rav Zera made. And now, when we're saying that what Rav Zera said in the name of Shmuel, then that's something that we deduced from his previous statement.
By implication.
Now, Tosfos argues with that. Tosfos says, if you have something that Rav Zera is saying in the name of Rav Masna, who said in the name of Shmuel, that has to be the explicit statement. So it must be the other way around, Tosfos says. That one is the explicit statement, and from that we deduce what he said about Chelas Einba Mishum Kalayim Ba'afilu B'Talos Torah, which we said means even if the talus already has kosher of tzitzis, and then you put more tzitzis on it, then there's no issue of kalayim. That should be the base statement. From that, we deduce that Rav Zera would hold generally Hitzel B'Motelos Trera, that if you have a garment that already had one set of tzitzis on it, you put another set of tzitzis, then it remains kosher. So the halacha as far as the kilayim situation is, again, yes, technically kilayim is mutter and tzitzis, but nowadays that we don't have chelas, then not really, because you have an alternative. You can do not kilayim and still be yotze the mitzvah, so you have your shlokhi rule. As far as the business about hitzel b'motelos, again, now you have the machlokas between Rashi and the Ravid on the one hand, and the Rambam on the other hand, which eventually comes down to the Machaber versus the Ramah. If you put on a second set of tzitzis, does it depend on your kavana, whether you're doing bal tosif or not, to make the second set kosher, or is the second set kosher as soon as you cut off the first set regardless?
It seems here that there's no kavana involved.
Because here we're not getting into that detail. We got into that detail before when we were discussing.
It's an absolute statement.
Okay, that's why we said that. According to Rashi, that is precisely why we were left with that there's no difference between his kavana, because Rav Zera said generically, it's almost like
a generic.
Right. Okay.
Why the Rambam would learn,
since we left off, it's a proper statement, then that means that's meant to be the final word on the subject, that there's a difference of kavana. Okay. Rambam. Suppose you had a talis that was too long and you folded it over, so it's chayav in tzitzis. Now, you have, chayav in tzitzis, Reb Shimon says it's potter. If it's folded. So, in other words, the point is, so you fold it in half, now you're going to go and you're going to put tzitzis on, two of the corners that you're going to put tzitzis on are where it was folded. So we're saying that the Chachamim say that you can do that,
and stitch
we're going to talk about soon, right? And so the Chachamim say it's potter, the Chachamim say it's chayev, meaning you put tzitzis on the two corners where the fold is, and Rav Shimon says it's potter, because if you end up unfolding it, then even the tzitzis are going to be along the long ends, they're not going to be in the corners where they're supposed to be. So according to Rashi and according to many of the Rishonim, the question isn't so much whether this beggar is chayev and tzitzis or not. It's obviously chayev. The question is where do you put the tzitzis? Do you put them on the original corners? Here's the original beggar. You fold it in half. So the question is, are we saying that you should put the tzitzis here, and here? So the Chachamim say yes. And Rav Shimon says no, because if you unfold it, you're going to have tzitzis here and here, along the middle of it, and that's no good. Most of the Rishonim understand the discussion to be that way. You have the Nemukah Yosef on the Rif. The Rif wrote up these halachas, since they're Negea nowadays, so he wrote them up, and you have Nemukah Yosef as a pirush on it. He learns that actually the question... Nemukah Yosef is one of the... No, he's one of the Rishonim. He's one of the Rishonim who wrote a commentary on the Rif. Anyway, he learns that the question chayev and potter is actually literally whether it's chayev or potter or not. In other words, Rav Shimon potter would mean Rav Shimon exempts such a garment altogether from tzitzis because it's too long. Because it was only folded, but in its unfolded state, it's too long to wear. Therefore, it's potter from tzitzis.
What do you mean it's too long?
It's too long because
you didn't give a limit to the amount.
No, but it has to be a wearable garment. So he would understand if it's too long to wear without folding it over, then it can't really be considered a garment. Okay, I mean, again, the chacham, according to him, the chachamim would say it's chayev regardless, and what you would have to do is have to put on the real four corners, even though they're very far apart, and Rav Shimon would say it's potter because it's not really a garment, it's not really suitable as a garment. The shavin, shein kafla, the tafra, both the chachamim and Rav Shimon agree that if you folded it over and sewed it, shechayev, then it would be chayev and tzitzis because then it's not going to unfold.
That's a new garment.
That's not, well, sort of. Actually, in Shulchan Aruch, I mentioned, it doesn't even have to be that you sew it up along both of a long side. It could even be you sew it up along one long side. That would be enough, because now it can never be completely unfolded.
Well, no. If you sew it along the wrong side, it could still unwind partially.
But even though you can unfold this side, nevertheless, this side is still going to stay. So therefore, you can put it... No, but the point is, we still consider that now the whole thing is not going to unfold. Therefore, you can consider this to be a valid corner and this to be a valid corner, and this. Okay, so the question is, Tofra Pshita, well, obviously, if you sewed it up, it's partial that it's higher than this, and that you have to put it on the new four corners. The answer is, Leitzricha Denakte Besichi. Yes, but the Chiddush would be, even if you didn't actually sew it, even if you're just holding it together with pins, or it actually says a second explanation, you didn't do regular stitches, you basted it, you did very wide stitches. So then Rav Shimon would agree that it's chayev and tzitzis.
Even if it's stitched very loosely with wide stitches,
or even according to the second explanation, if you didn't even stitch it, you just put pins, then nevertheless it would be chayev. Actually, Rashi asked at the end of the previous perek, we talked about that briefly, and we said that if you sew it up, then we said that it doesn't, I don't know. I have no idea.
Staple it maybe,
because staples could be considered the equivalent of stitches, maybe. I don't know, but gluing it, I doubt. It'll just come out in the wash anyway, I don't know. Okay. Alright. So. Okay, so the Gemara tells a case, Rabba Bar Rav Huna Ishbol Avei Rabba Bar Rav Nachman. Rabba Bar Rav Huna visited Rabba Bar Rav Nachman. Chazir to have a mixti talus kfola. He saw that Rabba Bar Rav Nachman was wearing something like this, a talus that had been folded over. And he had tzitzis strings on the new four corners, here, in other words. But then ifshita, then the thing was unfolded, then it was unfolded because it hadn't been sewn up on the sides. And now the strings of the tzitzis are by his head, in the middle of it, in other words, instead of on the ends where it's supposed to be. Amalei, the Rabbah for Rabbah Rav Huna tells him, "Lam Hainu Konef to call the Rachmana Bar Isa." That's not the kind of corner that the Torah talks about. You have to put it on the proper corners. You can't say, or you have to sew it up and put it on the proper corners or whatever. Also Shadye. So he went ahead and threw it off him. Rabbah Bar Rav Nachman. Ichti Glima Akriti. And Shadye means he threw it off him. He took it off. And he put on another cloak, which had tzitzis in the proper places. However, even that, Rabbi Bar Rav Huna wasn't satisfied with that. Amalei says to him, "Are you thinking that tzitzis is a chayv on the person who's wearing it, and therefore you're thinking that as soon as you took off this other garment, then you don't have to worry about the tzitzis on it anymore?" He says, "No, chayv as talis too. The fact is, he's saying the tzitzis is a chayv on the talis. If you have a talis, if you own a talis that has four corners, then you're obligated to put tzitzis on it, even if you're not wearing it." Fine, big dayhem, you own the garment. So therefore, he argues.
Have to make a tzitzis.
Hold on. So he argues zil romi lay. So therefore, Rabba Bar Huna says, you have to go put tzitzis on it properly. The fact that you're not wearing it doesn't absolve it from having tzitzis on it.
No.
Well, lema messiah lay. So the Gemara says, okay, can we say that the following braisa supports what Rav Barhuna is saying, that tzitzis is an obligation on the beged, not on the person, namely what we just said before. Chassidim Rishonim, Kimin Sh'ogu Moshalosh, Hoi Matilim Batchelis. We said Chassidim Rishonim, as soon as, when, once they were almost finished weaving the talis, they would right away go and put, they'd right away go and put tzitzis on it, even before the garment was finished. Even though, in other words, it's not being, even though it's not actually being worn yet. By the way, I didn't mention before, by the way, that there's a different girsa that I think the Iter mentioned the girsa, not sh- before we said that we said shabbosuba, he says the girsa should be shabbosuba. As soon as they dyed three etzbois from the corner, even though the whole thing is not finished being dyed yet, so it's not ready to wear yet, they'd immediately put on tzitzis. So be that as it may, whatever girsa we take, the point is they're putting on tzitzis even before the thing is ready to wear. The answer is China Chassidim, the Machmir on Achshayu. Fine, you could say that the Chassidim and Rishonim are different. They're being Machmir on themselves. Not necessarily can you say that you learn a general principle from this, that tzitzis is an obligation, that if you have to have every piece of clothing that has four corners, has to have tzitzis on it. Maybe normally it's only a chiyuv for any four-cornered garment that you're going to be wearing, has to have tzitzis on it. The Chassidim and Rishonim wanted to be extra careful with the mitzvah, so they would make sure that every four-cornered garment of theirs would have tzitzis, even if it wasn't actually completely finished yet, as long as it was close enough to being finished.
Is that valid?
Well, yes, because we said before, as long as it was within the last 3 etzbos, yes.
I thought it was only after when you wear it.
Hold on. Okay, so the Gemara says we're in Memala from Manala in Menachos. Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara says a plisha de malach. Now this that Rav Bar Rav Huna is saying that every full garment that you own is higher than tzitzis, even if you're not actually wearing it. Therefore, he's telling every four-cornered garment that you own is higher than tzitzis, he's arguing, even if you're not actually wearing it. And therefore, he's telling Rav Barav Nachman, the fact that you're not going to wear this palace fulla anymore doesn't help. You still need to take care of the situation and put tzitzis on it. That disagrees with Pliga de Malacha. That disagrees with what the Malach said. The Malacha asked the Chayler of Ketina. A Malach one time found Rav Ketina, the Michsi Sedina, that Rav Ketina was wearing a sodin. And we said before, a sodin, a Malach from Shemayim. He met Rav Ketina, and he found that Rav Ketina was wearing the Michsi Sedina. He was wearing a sodin. A sodin is a linen garment. As we said before, that a linen garment you don't put tzitzis on it. We talked about is it that deraisa, is it not required, is it the rabbanan, you don't put it, we said in the end, because of one or the other of the gzeiros. But whatever it is, the bottom line is, a sodin doesn't have tzitzis on it.
A sodin is
a linen garment. We said, it's a linen garment, but the point is, we ended up saying, the reason is Mishum Ksus Laila, the last reason we had said at the end of the previous Sylvia, was because a sodin is something that may be worn at night, or that's commonly worn at night, or whatever, and therefore it's potter from tzitzis, because again, you're going to have the problem that you're going to end up wearing kilayim and where you're not accomplishing the mitzvah.
Yeah.
I guess you could say like pajamas, sort of, yeah. Omale.
Your sheet at night, even if it's cotton, does that have anything to do with it?
No, because we're not talking about something that you wear, not something that you just put over yourself when you sleep. No, here we're talking about something that he wears, that he wraps himself in. Omale, so the Malach says, Tina, Sedina Bakaita, in the summer you're wearing a sodin, this linen garment. Of course, Malach will have a halacha.
They have a mission to do.
Yeah. Okay, so this Malach's mission was to come and tell. This Malach's job was to tell Rav Ketina off. Wait. So you're wearing a sodin during the summer, the sarbala of a sifra, and in the winter you're wearing another piece of clothing called a sarbala, which Rashi describes as similar to our coat, so jacket. It only has two corners at the bottom. So it's also called a sifra, because it doesn't have four corners.
Like our kapata, yeah.
So what's going to be with the mitzvah of sifis? Throughout the year, you're not wearing anything which is higher than sifis. Amalei, so Ketina tells him that you and Malach are coming and telling me off about it. Does that mean Anshitu Aeser? Do you part of the base in Shal? You being part of the base in Shamaila, do you punish people for failing to do a mitzvah? Meaning, in other words, Tosfos says, because you have the kind of esther which is a chovas gabra. You have the kind of esther which is an obligation on the person to do. Let's say to eat matzah on Pesach, or take a lulav on Sukkot. There you have a din that the beis din shel mata. If a person refuses to do it, the beis din down here on earth can give him malchus until he's either ready to do it or they kill him. If the beis din shel mata can do it, surely the beis din shel mila can do it. So the Ketinah is not asking about that. But he's saying something like this. Where a person, after all, is not obligated to, even if we argue that we're in the middle of discussion whether tzitzis is an obligation on the beged that you own or on you yourself when you wear it, but either way, you're not obligated to go and buy a four-cornered garment that's higher than tzitzis in order to fulfill the mitzvah. So Rav Kinah is asking that kind of essay where a person is b'chlal not required to put themselves in a situation where they have to wear it. So what are you so upset with me for? Is that something that you, the Beis Din Shel Mila, would punish about? In other words, so what's the problem if I'm wearing a sudden in the summer and a fireball in the winter and I'm never wearing tzitzis? So what? I'm not obligated to. Amalei, and the Malach tells him, yes, as a matter of fact, this man de Isher, yes, you have a certain obligation, because read the Beis Din Shel Mila, Bizman de'ikar vitcha, at a time when there's anger from Hashem on the world, on Shiran, then yes, we do punish somebody for the failure to do such a mitzvah as well. So in other words, therefore, he's telling Rav Ketinah that you have a responsibility, especially Marsha says, he's saying to Rav Ketinah, you're a tzaddik. A tzaddik has an extra obligation to do mitzvahs in order to protect the world at a time when Hashem is angry with the world. Therefore, you have an extra obligation to make sure you're not just wearing a sodin in the summer and a fireball in the winter and never wearing tzitzit. You have an obligation to see to it that you're wearing tzitzit.
But one second. And this is when the spring and fall fashion came into play.
Okay.
when you dove in the morning, you wear a tzitzit. When you say tzitzit.
Okay. Because of this Gemara over here, it's because of this Gemara over here, the fact that the Gemara is saying over here that a person has an obligation, that even though technically, midaraita, a person is not obligated to buy a four-cornered garment in order to wear tzitzit, a person could conceivably go their whole life without fulfilling the mitzvah, but based on what we're saying in the Gemara over here, eventually, that when one's styles change and nobody's wearing four-cornered garments anytime during the year, then the minhag develops to pack a buy a four-cornered garment and have tzitzit on it in order to be mekayim the mitzvah. But in principle, midaraita, you wouldn't be required to. However, the malach
is extraordinarily nice, and you don't have tzitzit.
Yeah, because when you say that meyud eidus shekhar ba'atmo, that would be if he's wearing a four-cornered garment and fails to put tzitzit on it.
Without wearing the four corners, it's not shekhar.
Right. Okay.
But the shulchan says still the
chayim. Okay, you're still, because eventually the minhag develops to wear one, and therefore you're obligated.
Because of the malach.
Yeah. Okay. So now let's see how that relates to what we were saying before. If you say that tzitzit is a chayv on the person, which is what Rav Bar Rav Nachman is arguing, and therefore he's saying, once I'm not wearing this talis fuller anymore, it's not obligated to have tzitzit on it, then fine, hainu di mechayv. And that's why the Malach is telling Rav Katina that you have an obligation to see to it that you're wearing tzitzit.
Because
it's on the person. But if you say that the essential chayv is on the talis, so what's the problem? The fact is, the skin is that doesn't have any garments that are chayv and tzitzit, so what's the problem? What's the malach upset for? So my answer is that. So what are you going to answer? You're going to say that after all, tzitzit is a chayv on the person. Fine, you could argue. The fact is, even if you say it's a chayv on the person, like Rav Bar Rav Nachman wants to argue, fine, but you also need, the person has to be wearing a talis that is obligated in tzitzis. If a person is not wearing a garment that's not a bat piyuvah, then the Torah is not mechayiv him. So in other words, the point is, there's no proof one way or the other from this story, whether it's a chayvus gavra or whether it's a chayvus talis. No, because we're saying, on the one hand, you could argue that it's a chovas gabra, and therefore, no, so we're saying like this. It certainly can't be a chovas palace, because the palace itself that he's wearing is not mechoyev and tzitzis. It doesn't have, it's either linen or it doesn't have four corners. But we're saying, we thought, therefore, that the story proves that it's a chovas gabra. But the fact is, even the gabra has to be wearing a four-cornered garment in order to be chayev. So either way, whether you argue talus is chovas gavra, or whether you argue it's chovas talus, either way, Rav Ketinah should be positive. So you still have the question, why is the malach upset with him?
If you say both, the talus that has four corners need a tzitzit, and the person has to wear a talus that has four corners.
No. We know for sure that there's no chiyuv in the Torah to go and buy a four-cornered garment in order to put tzitzit on it. The only question is it that every four-cornered garment that you own has to have tzitzit, whether you're wearing it or not? The fact that you bought a four-cornered garment makes you obligated to put tzitzit on it? Or is it that you only chayv if you're going to be wearing that four-cornered garment? That's what we're saying, chayvus talis versus chayvus gabra. In Rafina's case, neither one is the case. He doesn't have a talis that has four corners, and that's chayv and tzitzit.
That's what he's accused of.
Well, that's the question is, so what's the malach accusing him of?
On the not having a
but that, well, that's going to be the answer, but that's going to be the answer. Wait,
well, what is the malach accusing?
The malach is saying to Rav Katina, you're never, what are you going to do as far as the mitzvah of tzitzit? You're never doing the mitzvah. And he's
okay, Katina did not.
Rav Katina was not wearing tzitzit, because during the summer he's wearing a linen garment. We said before, a linen garment is possible to wear this. And in the summer, he's wearing a garment that doesn't have four corners. So either way, he's never, yeah. So the point is,
that was for two different reasons.
Fine. The fact remains, though, but either way, the point is the garment is not chayiv and tzitzit. So therefore, so now the question
is,
again, even if we say that tzitzit is a chayiv gavra, it's only a chayiv gavra if you're wearing a four-cornered garment. Rav Katina is not. So therefore, regardless whether you say that tzitzit is a chayvus gavra, or you say it's a chayv amitalis, either way, Rav Katina is poser. So therefore, why is the malach upset with him? And therefore, that seems to have no bearing on the machlokas of Rav Bar Avuna and Rav Bar Rav Nachman. Rav Bar Avuna is arguing the chayv is on every four-cornered garment that you own, whether you're wearing or not. Rav Bar Rav Nachman is arguing that it's only on the ones I'm wearing. This story of Rav Katina, neither one is the case.
So we add?
Well, so the answer is, Ela Haku Ka'amalai. So no, the answer is that rather, the Malach is telling Rav Katina, Kapsiki Lemiska Nashach Mitzitzit. Are you trying to find excuses? Are you trying to find loopholes to pater yourself from Mitzitzit? Meaning, in other words, what he's saying is that it's true, technically you're not in a situation where you're obligated to wear tzitzit. However, how could, especially somebody like you, go and try to find ways to pater yourself from tzitzit? So
what's happening over here is that we're trying to prove that either the person is supposed to be wearing tzitzit,
right?
So whether it's just the garment, if it's only a four cornered garment, is always the chiyuv,
right?
And it doesn't, if the person's not wearing a four-cornered garment, there's no chiyuv of tzitzit.
Exactly. So according to Rashi, what it comes out is like this. According to Rashi, it comes out the Gemara saying you have no truth from the story of Katina and the Malach one way or the other. Could be tzitzit is a chayv on the person, could be tzitzit is a chayv, but only if you have a four-cornered garment. Could be the chayv is on the garment, as long as you own a four-cornered garment.
Has four corners.
Okay. There has to be a four-cornered garment involved.
Hold on.
According to Rashi, what the Gemara has ended up with here is like this. We started with two possibilities. Either you're chayav to put tzitzit on every four-cornered garment you own, whether you're wearing it or not, or you're only chayav to put tzitzit on a four-cornered garment if you're actually wearing it. Now, according to Rashi, this story of the Malach and Rav Katina has nothing to do with either of the above. It's pointing out another point. It's pointing out another angle on this, which is even regardless whether we say tzitzit is the chayv on every four-cornered garment you own or only on the four-cornered garments you wear, either way implying that a person could conceivably not do the mitzvah of tzitzit, nevertheless, based on what the Malach says, we have a third consideration, which is you should be getting a four-cornered garment and be wearing it and put tzitzit on it. You should put yourself in the position of being able to fulfill that mitzvah. So no proof to Rav Bar Rav Nachman's view or Rav Bar Rav Hona's view, because Rav Katina and the Malach is a whole separate thing. Tosfos learns not like that. The fact is that we have, after all, proved that the chayv is more on the person rather than on the garment. Because if you don't have a four-cornered garment, then how could the Beis Din Shamayla be punishing a person for the lack of having a four-cornered garment? Obviously, therefore, Tosfos says the implication must be from the story that the chayv is more on the person. Now, it's true, of course, that the person is only chayv if he has a four-cornered garment. But nevertheless, there would be no reason to punish a person at all if the chayiv was strictly on a, was on every garment he owned. Obviously, the answer is the chayiv must be only on the garments that you actually wear. So when Tosfos says that's the machshana, is the chayiv of tzitzis is only on garments that you, only on four-cornered garments that you wear. If you have a four-cornered garment that you keep it in a drawer, then according to Tosfos, the Gemara has concluded that it's not chayiv in tzitzis. Where according to Rashi, the Gemara has not concluded one way or the other.
I think that Rashi's conclusion seems to be consistent with what the Pasuk says. Rasu big dehem, rasu tzitzis al
kamei. Chayiv big dehem. Does big dehem mean the one that mean the ones that you own, or does it mean the ones that you wear?
The Torah does not make that distinction. Therefore, you have to make tzitzis on your garments and presumably wear them.
You might know, what if you don't have any garments?
No, but come on.
That requires you only have regular clothes.
The Torah.
Minat Torah, again, Minat Torah, you're definitely not required to go and buy a four-cornered garment in order to have tzitzis on it. What the Malach is telling Rav Katina is that you shouldn't be trying to use such loopholes to get out of wearing tzitzis. You should be getting such a beged and wearing tzitzis on it. That is where the Minach developed to have a talus cotton and to have a talus gadol and to wear them in order
so
to have the mitzvah.
So
in the times of the Gemara, most people wore four-cornered garments, which were anyway chayiv and tzitzis. If you had somebody like Rav Katina, whose regular wardrobe doesn't include this garment, then the Malach is telling him that he would be obligated to get stuff, to get one.
The common person
The common person in those times had tzitzis on their four-cornered garments, yes. Or at least they were required to. Whether they did or not is another question, but they were required to, Rav Yalom.
Well, a common person would wear four-cornered garments.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go on. Omer of Tuvi Bar Kishna Omer Shmuel, Clay Kufsa, if you have more on this topic, if you have clothes that are just kept in a box, again, according to Rashi, we haven't really reached a conclusion. All we know is that a person should have a four-cornered garment that has to have tzitzis on it.
Should wear,
in other words, because a person should be trying to make themselves obligated in tzitzis. However, we haven't concluded whether if a person has a piece of clothing that they always keep in a drawer, is it chayiv in tzitzis or not. According to Rashi, we've reached no conclusion about that.
That's exactly the story of the Gemara.
No. There's a difference between if I have a piece of clothing, if I have a four-cornered garment which is sitting in a drawer and I'm never wearing, according to Rabba Bar Rav Huna, it's required to have tzitzis. According to Rabba Bar Rav Nachman, it's not. Aside from that, the Malach is telling Rav Katina, he has an obligation to get another four-cornered garment and wear it. But in other words, a person could conceivably have one talus cotton that they wear and then have another one that doesn't have tzitzis on it that lies in a drawer. And not necessarily is there an issue with that. Whereas according to Rabba Bar Avona, there would be an issue with it. And according to Tosfos' understanding of the Gemara has concluded there also wouldn't be an issue with it. According to Rashi, the Gemara has left it ambiguous whether there's an issue with it. According to Tosfos, the Gemara has come down on the side that there's no issue with it. As long as you have a talus cotton that you're wearing so that you're fulfilling what the Malach said, then you're good. Okay. So, Amar of Tuvi Bar Kishna Amar Shmuel, Klei Kufsa Chayavim Besitzis. Clothes that are kept in a drawer or in a box are chayiv and tzitzis. So not like we so on one side of what we were just discussing, even though you're keeping it in a drawer, because you could be using it to wear, and therefore when the pasuk says that you have to put tzitzis on the corners of your garments, asher techatava, Rashi says this can be called asher techatava. This is a garment that you could be covering yourself with. You're not, because you're leaving it in a box. Doesn't matter, he says. Umoida Shmuel, however, Shmuel would agree that it's possible from tzitzis, bizokin shaftal akvoida, if an old person made a garment with tzitzis for his own covered, meaning that he plans to use it for tachrichim, that it's possible from having tzitzis on it. And in fact, that's a garment that he made for tachrichim is potter from tzitzis, which means, in other words,
even if it has four corners,
and it says in Shulchan Aruch, even if once in a while he wears it while he's alive, it would still be potter from tzitzis. My time, asher techasaba, marachbara, because the pasuk says that
before tachrichim was all white and it was universal, the garment.
Maybe, but one second. My time, asher techatava amarachmana, because the Torah says tzitzis have to be placed on a garment that you cover yourself with. The high lav leichsuri abida. This one is not meant for wearing normally. It's only meant for tachlis.
What does the Torah say that?
In Parshas Kisei, there's a zilim pas lachal abakan kashar tachasim. But we've quoted that passage a couple of times already in these stories. Okay. Bahi kashar tachasibay. That you wear. Bahi shaita. However, when it comes to that time, when the person is actually being dressed in the tachrichim after he's dead, vade raminamay, then we definitely put sifis on it. Mishum loyeg l'rosh chayrat oisei, because otherwise it would be like making fun of him. Ha, you don't have to do mitzvahs anymore. So therefore we do have to put tzitzis on it. Now you're saying, what about nowadays? Okay, now, on the other hand, we have our Gemara over here that implies that you should be, that says that you should be putting tzitzis on it. On the other hand, we have other Gemaras that imply that you should not. You have a Gemara in Brachas about it. You have a Gemara in Nida about it, about mason being potter from mitzvahs. In the end, the halacha as brought down in Shulchan Aruch is, because you have a machlokes rishonim, which gemara do you follow? Do you put tzitzis on? Well, not on the tachrichim themselves. The tachrichim themselves nowadays don't have four corners, but on the talus, when you dress the mess in a talus, do you keep the tzitzis on it or not? The accepted thing. Now you have places. I think it says in Yerushalayim that the cloud won't bury the mess of the talus, but in most of the rest of the world where they do, the eventual minhag as wrote in Shulchan Aruch based on it, in order to make kind of a compromise between the opinions of the poskim, is you take them out to the levaya with all the tzitzis intact, and then before they bury the person, they tassel one of the tzitzis. So that way you're accomplishing both. We're not talking about talus cotton, we're talking about talus gadol. The mess is dressed in tachrichim, then you have a talus, then he's wrapped in a talus gadol. They carry him to the kaver with the four tzitzis on the talus intact. Right before they lower him into the kaver, or maybe once they lower him in, I don't know, whatever, before they fill in the kaver, they tassel one of the tzitzis.
There would be another school for him to wear with.
That's true, but on the other hand, you have the fact that Mason apostle from business, and again, you have other Gemaras that imply that. I think I've mentioned before, actually, I think I mentioned this in some other connection, but I don't remember, but the Aruch HaShulchan brings, interestingly, that the Vilna Gaon, and also another great person from those times, the author of the Sefer Yesod Vashur Shavoyder, of Alexander Ziskin, something or other, both of them had told their Talmidim, they both lived in the late 1700s, they both ordered their Talmidim before they passed away, they want to be buried with their talus with all the tzitzis intact, because they held, based on our Gemara, that has to be done that way, but one of them told one of their Talmidim that. The one of them, when they were burying him, that Talmud, Punk, had to go to the bathroom, therefore he wasn't there, and the rest of the Chedra Kadisha followed what they usually do and cut it. And the other one, what happened was, they did bury him with the talus intact, but then as they were lowering him into the caver, it got snagged on something and ripped off. So they realized, Min HaShemayim, that even the Vilna Gaon, and even the Yisod HaShor HaShavoda, what they say doesn't go against what the consensus that it says in Shulchan Aruch, that you pass all the sisters. So that's how the minhag has remained, that you do pass all the tzitzis.
It was the victim.
Yeah.
Then there's the story of... So when he was buried, the Vilna Gaon, what happened? They passed all the
tzitzis. That's what we're saying. It ended up with the tzitzis was passed.
Min
HaShemayim, yeah.
The mitzvah where the poor people couldn't afford the nice garments at tachrichim.
That was after Gamliel, as often, yeah.
Yeah. This story is... Before,
this is the pashas after it, but even after it, we're talking about even after that.
They still didn't know where to put the tzitzis on.
I guess not. Yeah. Okay. Omer Rachva, Omer Rav Yehuda. Talus shenikra chutz l'shalish. If you have a talus where the corner ripped off more than three esbois away from the edge, yisper, you're allowed to sew it back up. Now, according to Rashi, the issue is, like we were talking about before, that if you might. Think mistakenly to use the strings that are hanging off to use them as tzitzit. However, if it was ripped off more than three esbois from the edge, there's no issue because tzitzit don't go that far from the edge. Therefore, you're not going to end up using those as tzitzit strings. But if it's within three esbois, you shouldn't sew it because again you have that problem. According to Tosfos and everybody else, the issue is rather that if it was ripped within three esbois, then that remaining piece can't be considered a beggar. Therefore, when we say yisper and lo yisper, we don't mean you can't sew it back on. We mean you can't sew it back on and then still have the tzitzis on it and have it be considered valid tzitzis, so you have the same problem of half of a lamina also.
You can't sew it and cut through.
So in other words, in principle, you could cut off the tzitzis. You could cut off the stitches, sew that piece back on, and then put back on the stitches. Actually, as Shulchan Aruch talks about, there are some details about that, and you still have issues over there, what threads were used for the sewing, whether those are going to interfere with the stitches or not. All right. Tanya Nami Hochi, we learned similarly in the Braise.
Undo a whole stitches.
Why not? You have stitches are made with windings and knots and whatever. You undo the knots and you undo the windings. Or you just cut them off, like you do when you want. Yeah. Tanya Nami Hochi, Talos, Shinikra, Chutzla, Sholosh, Yitzvar. They could rip more than three etzvos away from the edge. There's no problem. You can sew it. Toch Sholosh, if it was ripped within three etzvos. Rameo Omela Yitzvar, three etzvos is what we're going to talk to. We're going to talk later, and we'll get to that tomorrow at this point. But yeah, three etzvos, Pashas means three thumb widths.
Three thumb?
Yeah. Rameo Omela Yitzvar, if it's within three tvachim, Rameo says you can't sew it. Rameo Omela Yitzvar, and the Chachamim say you could sew it, so we go in this according to Rameo. The Shavin, both the mayor and the Chachamim agree, Shaloyavi Asilu Ama al Ama Yimakam Acher, that you can't take even a large piece, even if it's an Ama by an Ama, from another garment that already has tzitzis hanging onto it, the Ubat Chelet, that has tzitzis hanging from it, the Toilaba, and attach it to this Beged, because again, it wasn't part of this Beged when it had tzitzis on it, so it'll again be possible in an office. The Shavin, however, on the other hand, they do both agree, Shemedi Tchelis, Mokam Acha, that you're allowed to take Tchelis, that you're allowed to take stitches from another Beged and undo it from the other Beged, the Toila Ba, and tie it onto this new Beged. So that's not passive Lamina also. You're remaking it. You're redoing all the knots and windings and everything. The main point is, it's not considered a bizoyan that you're taking stitches from a different garment. Like now you're saying, that garment, I don't need it anymore, or whatever, before it had stitches on it, and now you're going to take the stitches off it and use those same strings for another beged. There's no issue with that. You're allowed to do that.
But instead, I can do it from a new stitches.
Well, obviously, if you have, but you don't have to. You're allowed to reuse stitches. You're allowed to undo from one beged and put it onto another. However, as long as you have that, it's not that nothing is broken. In other words, as long as all the strings are intact. So does that mean exactly what it sounds like? That even the hachila, you're allowed to take stitches from one garment and put it on another one, and it's not considered a bizoyan for the first talis. The answer is Dilma di Ibaloi, not necessarily, because maybe the Braita is talking about where the first one is worn out, and you can't wear it anymore anyway, then it's not a bizoyan. Take off the stitches from it, because then otherwise it would have, but in other words, maybe not necessarily, when the first beged is intact and wearable, maybe you have to keep the stitches on it. Maybe you're not allowed to take it off because it would be a bizoyan. So we'll get back to that issue tomorrow, whether you're allowed to take stitches from one beged to another. We'll continue.
So for sure, if it's an old beged,
for sure if it's an old beged, you're allowed to. Then it's not a bizarre. Whether it was a new beged, that we're going to discuss tomorrow.